You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
All right, everybody. Hello. Welcome back to Security Nation. I'm Kyle Flaherty. Today, actually got a whole bunch of people on the line, and you can't imagine the technical difficulties it took to actually get everybody to do this. But thanks to a Skype update, we were able to get this all done. But on the phone with me today in Austin is Nate Palanov. And Nate is part of the solutions marketing team here at Rapid7. And then here in Boston, myself, Eric Sun, and Matt Hathaway, who have done, this is their second appearance on Security Nation, which they're extremely excited about.
Veterans.
But, you know, I think that because it's Nate's first one, we should probably kind of have him kind of talk, and he's most likely to be the loudest. But what we wanted to talk about actually today was Black Hat, because we are now a week away from it being in our rearview mirrors, and you three were actually there, and I wasn't. I was enjoying lobster rolls in Maine. But Nate, was this your first Black Hat?
No, it was actually my second Black Hat, so I went about 2 years ago, but okay. It was my first from kind of a product marketing messaging perspective. When I went in the past, it was when I was in a sales role, so it was kind of interesting, kind of different way of looking at things.
What was like? What was different? How does it change from going from sales and now being in kind of technical marketing?
Yeah, so I guess some of it was similar in that, you know, talking to prospects was still, you know, and cost customers was still a pretty big part of it. Now, though, I had some more time to actually walk around and, like, look at, like, what were some of the messaging and things the other companies were saying, or some of the cooler companies at the small, you know, up-and-coming security company section. So it just let me kind of free my mind a little bit and focus less on, like, you know, just the, you know, talking to as many people as possible and thinking about some of the bigger picture things I saw and thinking about some of the bigger trends I saw with other customers. Plus, it let me kind of be free to talk to every customer and not just be like, oh, this isn't one of my prospects. I should just stop talking to this guy as quickly as possible and move on to somebody else. So that was also nice.
So that was your sales technique. It was just like, if you're not in my territory, forget you.
I exaggerate for effect. Right.
Of course. For the drama of the podcast.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be on the show as well, Kyle. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for saying that. It was so awkward at this point for you to mention that. Matt and Eric, I mean, Matt, you've been to a bunch of Black Hats, right?
Yeah, I have to count, but it's somewhere around my eighth. Yeah.
So for you, I mean, I know I've probably been about the same, but I wasn't there this year. Is it, you know, what are we talking about now? Is it just completely madhouse, you know, crazy show like RSA at this point? Like what's changed for you over the eight that you've been to?
It definitely feels like, you know, very much trending toward an RSA. I would definitely say that. The first time I went, I mean, it was an odd experience anyway, because I was with RSA, and RSA, this was, you know, it predated when RSA had, you know, monitoring and detection technology. You know, it was really all the focus was on authentication, and so it was kind of, people would walk up and be like, hey, why are you guys here? And it was very small. Everybody had a small booth. There wasn't the crazy art and two-story booths at that time. So it's changed quite a bit, and now it feels like a just slightly smaller RSA.
So, and I'll just throw this out to all of you guys. Is that a good thing for our industry? Do we need two RSA conferences?
I mean,
so it's definitely a big challenge with cutting through the noise. I think all of us, when we were walking through the show floor, there's just so many new themes, which is fantastic, but it's really hard to differentiate between what solution offers what, and everything is bubbling up to all of these buzzwords, these keywords. So I can imagine as a security practitioner looking to find out information on what new vendors are doing, it's becoming challenging to differentiate between the noise and the real deal.
I think it's also kind of inevitable, too, like with the huge growth, obviously, the industry has had and the fact that it's very much in the public eye now. Like, it's kind of inevitable that events like these are going to become bigger and bigger and more, you know, more, I guess, corporate focus and more RSA focus. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably thousands of people that are going to lament like, oh, Black Hat's becoming the new RSA. But, you know, it's kind of with the progress of the industry. So I think it's going to be important to, instead of just like lamenting that things are changing, is figuring out how you can adapt with that and make that a good thing and a useful thing, because it's obviously not going to reverse and go the other direction just because we all reminisce about the good times.
Yeah, and I also think, like, you definitely get the people who are like, well, it's too corporate for me now, man. But but if you remember, like, the focus of these two, both conferences, is very much on the sessions, right? And they are very different kind of topics that people, you know, RSA is a lot broader, and this is very much still focused on kind of the defense, the new attacks, and exemplifying that kind of mentality at Black Hat. So those, I don't think, have really converged as much as just the conference floor is. And I think it's just, yeah, you know, the number of people going there. You have to be there as a vendor unless you want to miss out on a lot of people that attend and might not know about you. So, I mean, from a conference and show floor perspective, yeah, it is kind of strange that it's so duplicative, but the conferences themselves are very, very different, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think last year was my 14th RSA or something like that. And
braggart.
Yeah, well, I'm older than all of you. But I think that the thing that I find, and I agree, Nate, I hear what you're saying of, like, if we sit here and like, oh, you know, it was so great back then, blah, blah, blah. There's no use in doing that. I think our challenges as an industry is, are we getting enough good content and enough education in terms of the sessions? And are we slowly becoming, you know, a industry where the show floor is just so dominating and large that it's pointless overall? And that's where I do get concerned of, and I would love to see an RSA or a Black Hat or whatever it is, of start breaking them apart a little bit and allowing mm-hmm. some sort of smaller. Now, I don't think you can do it because there's just not a lot of money in doing it that way. But, you know, having that DerbyCon feel in some of these places would be really beneficial, I think, for the vendors as well. Like, let's be honest, we work for a vendor, but we want to get, you know, our information out there and talk to people. I think it's just really difficult to do that anymore, to have those really, really good conversations unless they're in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say one other good thing of Black Hat becoming this big is, you know, for this one week, like, security is all over the popular media, all over the news, like, everybody's talking about it, and a lot of it is good stuff, too. You know, apart from Black Hat week, a lot of the news that, you know, most people get is, oh, there's this huge breach, and, you know, oh, there's this new, like, giant malware and things like that. Like, yeah, here's actually a chance for, you know, the popular media to talk about the, you know, research that's done, some of the cool things that's being done, some of the cool, like, preventative things that we're doing to stop these breaches from happening. So I think from a perspective of giving more kind of popular awareness to the security industry and to what people should be doing in their daily lives to be secure, it's a pretty good thing.
No, I think that's a really good point. I hadn't really thought of it that way. And the fact that maybe it does bring a ton of, I don't know, just visibility to
right,
what yeah. we're doing from that perspective. So, but on that, I'd be curious to find out, because Black Hat's always famous for dropping some new vulns and some new exploits and just new cool stuff overall. What was some of the coolest stuff or things that you guys kind of ran into? And certainly, I know, Eric, you were at DEF CON as well. You know, were there things, you know, that you guys saw that you just thought were, you know, super cool from a security perspective?
I mean, it. I think we're all trying to avoid talking about our own company's research, right?
No, well, we might as well, because let's be honest. When you see, you know, Mr. Beardsley, who's appeared on this this very
in
podcast.
In a dress shirt.
He looks great. On CNN. That's pretty cool. So we should definitely talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there was, it's always interesting for research to come out. Of course, there's the ATM hack, and we should circle back to that. But to talk about hotel keys and to be able to mimic them while you're presenting in a hotel is always kind of entertaining to me. You know, how much of the hotel staff, how much of the people holding the key in their pocket at that moment, watching the research and how easy it is to just, oh, I can duplicate your hotel key without blinking and just go into your room. I think that definitely caught a lot of attention as everybody there is thinking about what's in their room, whether they use their safe, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on that note, it's always funny to see one of the goals in the social engineering village is they've had contests of getting into highly restricted areas or taking a picture of yourself with some unlikely objects. And so one of my hotel escapades involved seeing the innards of the kitchens and, you know, where the staff work. And there were plenty of flyers out that said, hey, you know, you need to be careful with your cell phone. You know, don't have Wi-Fi, don't have a Bluetooth on. And of course, this isn't new for any Black Hat or DEF CON attendee, but it's always interesting to see how, from a hotel staff perspective, a lot of them don't attend the show. For them, these events are a mini penetration testing environment for them. And so they have to spend all of their energy making sure that they're not actively compromised. So it is, you know, a little test for them.
Yeah, and I also witnessed a taxi driver blaming those damn hackers because he heard about a few people whose Pokemon Go accounts were wiped or something. And somebody else said, no, that was actually just coincidental that there was some sort of bug on the platform that day. But of course, anything computer,
right,
anything, you know, electronic that goes down that week, it's like, oh, those damn hackers again. It's just kind of funny where that's become the mentality whenever the security industry swarms Las Vegas for that week. It's like everything that's broken must be hackers. It's kind of entertaining.
Well, and
it's funny you mentioned that. Like when they gave me my hotel key, I went up and I think they gave me the wrong room, and so my hotel key didn't work. And down the hall, like somebody else's hotel key didn't work, and so we were like, oh, I guess all the hotel keys are broken now because of Black Hat. So. And they were like, nope, we just got it mixed up. It's not the hackers.
Most times it's just human error. I saw even speculation that the Delta, when they went down, but that was like 4 days afterwards. So I'm like, just because someone flies from Las Vegas to Atlanta and was at Black Hat, they can't shut down a computer system. It doesn't work that way.
What do you mean? No, I mean, I think I saw that on CSI.
Right.
Well, that's cyber.
That's what a virus is, right? You just get that. So, what other kind of, other cool stuff that you guys saw on the floor?
I wanted to take a look at some of like the smaller, you know, companies doing exhibition stuff, and it was cool that, you know, I'm sure Eric would talk about this in more detail, but, you know, obviously user behavior analytics is, you know, really big this year, and there's a lot more companies doing it, but there are a lot of really interesting like kind of niche companies that like really focused on like a few things. Like one company was all about like lateral movement. Like all their product did was be really good at just detecting lateral movement. And another one that was like, you know, user behavior analytics and also mobile device management and like really focusing on mobile users. So it's interesting how there were a lot of companies that were like really focused on like a specific part of UBA when that's become, because that's become such like a big buzzword these days.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of analytics, there's lots of solutions that are trying to simplify an existing SIM deployment or getting that a little bit more ROI out of the existing stack. In addition to that, certainly a lot of endpoint vendors touting, you know, the ability to not only detect malware, but of course ransomware, next generation, you know, the whole APT. But certainly we're seeing a shift there where there are a lot of vendors that are growing and expanding on their endpoint capabilities.
Mm. And I'd be interested too of, you know, so in that realm, let's talk about the kind of the new companies, the startups and the innovation area and stuff like that, because obviously there's a lot of high growth. Did you guys see some things that were a little bit surprising that, oh, that's new and fresh from a technology perspective?
I mean, most years I could point to like one or two that really stood out. I mean, I think this year the only interesting ones it was hard to really tell how much was hype and how much is real, but they were very clearly around, and these are their words, artificial intelligence, deep learning, you know, using a lot more of the, you know, the machine learning and math solves everything kind of mentality. So it was interesting just how broadly that started to spread. And it's, you know, these startups with that, that's all they do. And it's like, okay, but what does that mean? That's all you do, you know? And it, and so it's kind of, it's, it was interesting to me. And that's what really caught my eye as the newest, trend in what people are trying to really bring to security and who knows how effective it is. It was, you know, it was a booth. You can't really get that much from a booth conversation, but.
Yeah, and I think to build off of Matt's point, like one thing that I kind of noticed was there are a lot of companies like, you know, like you said, Matt, that were boasting like artificial intelligence or, you know, you looked at this stuff and like, wow, this looks like it'll be really cool. But the problem is that once you got into the actual product, the UI was and the user experience was usually pretty terrible when you actually start digging around the product. So a lot of them, you know, it's great to have a really innovative, like awesome idea. They can detect really cool things and nobody's really thought before. But if it's really difficult for the customers, for customers to actually use that information and you know, get to the bottom of it and get actionable insight out of it, then it's tough to really kind of differentiate yourself and really make that a big selling point. So I noticed that with a lot of the smaller companies too.
Well, I think, you know, the thing I'd say that, and maybe it's just because I've worked at some of those companies before in the past, you know, in my history of as being startup, but that's,
and older.
That and Sorry. Older, right? That to me is what makes that show and those shows in general so important. Is that they're challenging kind of the status quo, and we might roll our eyes at different words like artificial intelligence or deep learning or something like that. But you know, at some point we were all there, right?
Right.
At some point, vulnerability management, pen testing. You know, UBA, right? I mean, that was all just kind of beginning at some point. And so to me, seeing what's going on there is usually what is going to be, quote unquote, what we call a commodity 5 years later, because this market does grow so amazingly fast. And it shows too, like, because if you look at what customers are kind of on board, so let's take an AI company that's doing that. You know they have some customers because they have some bleeding edge folks, some CISO, and you know I used to talk about Mario Chiok, who was the CISO at Schlumberger, who was one of the first like Palo Alto users, one of the first you know FireEye users, etc. Like before the UX was any good, before it was you know it had all the feature functionality. Usually, following that is a good barometer of where we're going as an industry, and so that's. Sometimes what I use my time at those shows, and it's why I was bummed not to be there, was to figure out, all right, what's going on from that perspective and figuring out, you know, where we should be looking as people who care about the security community.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the few times I've written a blog about these for Rapid7, that was exactly what I focused on. And it used to be more challenging because they're on the outskirts and you'd have to do this giant loop, but now they've kind of clustered them all together. The biggest challenge I think is guessing like who could make a bet as to which of those would succeed, right? Because there was one year, now there's 65 endpoint, next gen endpoint vendors, right? And there were one year, there were 12 of them there. And how could you know just from their little tiny booth, which ones were successful, which ones had the right vision, but also which ones got lucky and got the good sales force or whatever.
Or the venture. Backing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, you know,
absolutely.
It's like, how much did you get for your Series B round? That's the big question. Yeah. What was it valued at?
Or the proper solutions marketing team.
Oh, Palinoff. Well played, sir. So true. So, you know, from that, you talked about how actually the innovation center, or whatever they call it now, I don't even know what they call it. The innovation.
I think it is Innovation Center or something like that.
It's like Innovation City or something like that. Yeah,
I was there last year before I joined Rapid7 with a EDR vendor. And it was crowded at that point for that space, so I can't imagine what it was like now. But I was going to ask something that just completely blanked at this point.
Well, I mean, the deception is continuing to make a slow kind of entry. I have never seen it like more than one or two new ones a year. But it's interesting. I think, you know, there's so many different ways it can be approached that some people might get confused. Like, I have an entire fake network that looks like a real network, or I have really, really good mimicked Windows machines, like the rest of machines, or whatever it is. Some different people are playing around with that and setting traps and using that as indicators and feeding their incident response team and things like that. So that's one area that I've continued to expect to suddenly have an explosion and have a few winners, but it seems to be kind of slow rolling, as opposed to, like you mentioned, EDR. It's like, oh, 10 new ones, 10 more, 15 this year. You know, it's interesting how some really, like, almost at the same time, people start to come out with the technology, and in other areas, people are like, I don't know, but we'll try it, you know.
Good point. I think part of that, though, is it's just the deception thing seems really hard.
Yeah.
You know, like that seems like a lot of work, although it may be one of the, you know, more brilliant tactics to take or strategies to take from a security perspective, but it seems super hard. Whereas, you know, deploying an agent that does, you know, a few things for you seems like a lot easier, even though it probably isn't doing what it needs to do. And Eric, you went to DEF CON, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Was that your first?
So part of the time was
that manning, your first DEF CON?
So it was great to man some of the Rapid7 booth. Proud to. We had an exclusive T-shirt design.
We lost you.
So it was, you know.
We lost you for a second there.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. $1,000 for the EFF with our exclusive T-shirt design.
The audio is not working. It's probably the hackers.
It's choppy, choppy. It must be those. Where's Beardsley? The way it's going to sound on the podcast is like we're bleeping him. He's just he keeps swearing.
Well, he just
Eric was just so furious at all the stuff that he was saying at DEF CON.
All those hackers taking over his Pokemon Go account.
Man, I was going to ask too. I was going to ask the most important question was whether anyone was able to sit down at a poker table with Eric and see the man in action.
I was not interested in losing all my money.
No, well, I wouldn't suggest you play with him. Just.
Yeah, unfortunately not. I was too busy at the craps table.
You mean at the booth?
Yeah, next time.
Working hard?
And at the booth.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, but that is, like, one of the things about Black Hat, at least I find, that is different, obviously, than RSA, is just, it's so exhausting. Like, being like, it just adds such another element, but, you know, I think that's part of just the allure and the brand, obviously, that is Black Hat.
Sure.
But I was kind of glad to avoid it, I'll be honest, this year.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I mean, especially that Wednesday, right? Like, we always have the latest party, and, you know, it's the first day of the conference, like, the broader conference, so you start the day 8:30 in the morning, you get a customer breakfast or something, you have a couple analyst meetings, you go to a customer lunch, then you have booth duty all afternoon, and then you do a dinner, and then you go to the party until 2 a.m. And it's like, wow, that's a pretty long day.
Well, I think
I think it's very wise that they organize it so that the talks and the show floor is open up to like 9 or 10 versus like, you know, 7:30, 8 at a lot of other conferences. They know they know what they're doing there.
Right, exactly. And they're just pumping in more oxygen for you. Keep you going.
What do they say? I don't know. I still get a lot of dust air to respond to recover from the week back home. that desert's it's a desert.
How hot was it this week?
I think that I remember seeing 107, 110 in those range when we were there.
So Nate, you were comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunately indoors for like the vast majority of it, so I didn't get baked too much by the heat.
Yeah.
He grew his beard out extra long just to feel, you know, with that cooler air than Austin. He just wanted to fit in and feel comfortable.
Well, and I hit a Wi-Fi pineapple in there so I could hack people with my beard.
Oh, it's in your beard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's genius.
It's the next big thing.
Wow. So, wow.
Innovation City next year.
On body hacking devices. Interesting. Well, that's why I'm growing my beard out. I think it's going to be. You'll have to help me equip it.
I feel like somebody did a talk this year on Internet of You or Internet of, I don't know, something to do with like on body devices. Seriously.
I do remember hearing something about that. Yeah.
Like the chips and the medical devices that are implanted, or like Google Glass and that kind of stuff.
Well, no. and there are guys in that. There's like a whole like kind of subculture of people that like build their own biometrics. So they're like, you know, implant like a hard drive underneath their skin and like crazy, like kind of like DUI Borg stuff like that. There's like a whole like subculture of people that kind of doing that now. Is that what you're talking about, Matt? That kind of stuff?
No, that's really cool. I do enjoy those as well. What I was talking about was like people focusing very clearly on something like a wearable, and whatever the wearable is for, whether it's just, you know, what it's a pedometer and just measuring your steps or all the information that comes out of those today those in like botnets and a little bit into the medical field, but, obviously, you know, it's very sensitive. You don't want to go too deep outside of, you know, what people have done before. And our own Jay Radcliffe did with, you know, the insulin, his insulin pump.
Right.
But it was more of all the internet connected devices people have on them today. And some of them seem so dumb, if you want to call it that, but wow. they still have some central location that they're sending data back to.
Right. Have they actually shown any of the, like a Fitbit or whatever, being used as?
I mean, I was too busy working to go to all the sessions, Kyle. But you know, that's I did hear that seriously.
Wow.
That there was somebody talking about like a Fitbit type. I don't think it was that brand, but but a Fitbit competitive device being used to, you know, for like man in the middle or to even relay data,
really,
like a botnet kind of scenario.
Okay, interesting. And so, Nate, you implanted a hard drive in your arm. That's interesting. That's what I heard. Is that what I heard?
No, there's a whole like subculture of people that are like doing stuff like that to like push the boundaries of like cybernetics, and like it's kind of stupid, but it's kind of interesting too.
Well, that's where we're going, right?
Apple Pay is too slow
for
him.
That's kind of my thing. That's kind of my thing. Kind of stupid, but interesting.
You should start a podcast called that. I think it would do really well.
Oh, thanks. Is
that your Tinder profile?
This is probably not the appropriate medium to be discussing the Tinder profile strategy.
Sorry.
This is a serious business podcast.
No, this is what we'll say, Nate. If anyone has made it this far in the podcast, then what I'd like them to do is tweet at us. It's at Kyle Flaherty, hashtag bearded pineapple, and we'll just we'll know that they actually listened.
Yeah, and then you get to write our own Nate Palinov's Tinder profile.
Right, exactly. This is a contest. We should give this away. I love this.
Anything for the glory of Rapid Seven's bottom line.
Exactly. Well, I think now that we've completely degraded into conversations that have nothing to do with this podcast, although may actually get us way more listeners, I will thank you, the three of you, for spending the week out at Black Hat. I know that was a big sacrifice being out there, but it was good to hear a little bit about what was happening for those that weren't there and those that were, whether they agree or disagree with what we saw. Would love to hear from them overall. So this is a wrap. I don't know. I need a good like closing thing. Like a statement. Like each time, like
you know, sign off.
Like a sign off.
What's the official name of this blog of this cast again?
Blog.
Wow. You don't A, it's a podcast. B, podcast. You don't know the name of the podcast?
I know it's like Security something.
It's Security Nation.
We can go pew pew. pew, pew, and then that's the end.
Perfect. Actually, start doing that. We'll just fade out from there.
Pew, pew, pew.